Dear listeners, welcome to the 15th episode of South Asian Chat, brought to you by the Institute of South Asian Studies here at the National University of Singapore. I'm Alminda, and today we have with us Dr. Iqbal Singh Sevia, Visiting Research Associate Professor to ISAS. Welcome, Iqbal.
Hi, my pleasure.
It's been a year since Imran Khan was sworn in as the 22nd Prime Minister of Pakistan on 18th August 2018. How has he performed over this year, and has he delivered on his expectations? We asked Iqbal to give us an assessment of Mr. Khan's report card. So Iqbal, one of the major defining conversations of Imran Khan's first year in office has been Pakistan's economic woes, which to be fair is something that he largely inherited. So with an assistance package from the IMF and some bilateral loans, along with a cabinet reshuffle, has he done enough to steady the ship? And what is the assessment on this?
When we speak about the economic woes that he inherited and is confronting, we have to break it down into two different issues. The first is the current account deficit issue, which he inherited. But a point of context is that, much has been said about this being the largest current account deficit ever. That's not factually exactly the case.
I see.
Nawaz Sharif government had, in fact, inherited a huge one
right, as
well. But coming back to the point, that two issues. One is the current account deficit issue. At one stage, Pakistan had, and I won't go into the detailed numbers, but it's worth pointing out that Pakistan had foreign reserves that only could sustain it for a month or a month and a half, depending on which estimation you use. On that front, he's done, he's succeeded to an extent. The deficit has been brought down. Pakistan is not staring at the emergency situation it was last year. Having said that, he did this primarily through taking more loans.
Yes.
As well.
Yes.
So, this is a hard one to pass judgment on exactly, because these loans will need to be paid back.
Yeah, it's very much kicking the can down the road.
Somewhat, yes. And this leads to the other issue about structural changes in the economy. Mm-hmm. So the other problem the Pakistan economy has been facing is basically the domestic economy itself, the growth of the manufacturing sector, the export sector, etc. When Imran Khan kind of came into power, the economic growth rate was somewhere in between 5.4-5.5%.
Mm-hmm.
So Pakistan economy was not doing as badly as some people have assumed it was.
Indeed.
That rate has gone down
right
to about 3.2-3.3.
Mm-hmm.
Over this past year.
I see.
So we have to divide up these two issues to kind of underline. And there, of course, there are issues that are somewhat beyond his control, oil prices, etc. However, this has also been linked to the first issue.
Mm-hmm.
When the IMF loan was agreed upon, there are stipulations that one does have to agree upon. And this is the problem that the economy is facing. Taxes, the economic growth rate has gone down. The Pakistani rupee has fallen
mm-hmm.
drastically. Because one of the things with the IMF thing is that you can't control your currency rates.
Sure.
And the other issue is that the Pakistani rupee with relations to the US dollar has plummeted. And this has also led to inflation.
Right.
In Pakistan, and inflation is gone beyond 10% now.
Yeah.
So that, in a long-winded way, is my assessment of
excellent.
The economic situation.
For a historian, you've explained the economics very well.
I tried to go back into the past.
Thank you. Now, going back to politics, when he was running for office, Imran Khan touted a Naya Pakistan. Have we seen a Naya Pakistan yet, or signs of what it may look like? And how do you think he has fared on this front?
The rhetoric has been there. The statements have been there. And to some extent, one must give credit to Imran Khan for laying out certain aspects of the vision.
Mm.
And here, I'm referring in particular to a vision about sort of a healthcare structure, a welfare structure. He often refers to the Medina model, not really defined what that means, but a sort of a state structure that takes care of his population. And he's actually has launched schemes to build 5 million affordable houses for the lower earning sector. He's also launched, put policies forward that aim to provide a sort of a healthcare structure that is paid for by the state, etc.
Sure.
While some of these policies have been defined in his speeches, have been touted, and some of them have been launched, the problem lies in the financial situation. Again, how are these schemes going to be funded? So that's on one level. At the other level, you have a scenario in which it's some people are actually saying that, you know, if this is Naya Pakistan, then we want Purana Pakistan, because the inflation rate has gone over 10%, as I mentioned. Unemployment has increased, and again, we can't put this down solely to Imran Khan's thing. However, there is an issue that relates to your first question as well, that when Imran Khan's government came to power, there was no unanimity over the economic vision that could pull off this Naya Pakistan in itself.
Sure.
You know, whether they were going to take a loan, not take a loan. These were issues that they kept debating among themselves, etc. And so, in a sense, that economic resources, the vision itself could not be implemented in that way.
Oh, right.
But if I could just throw in another issue as well. When Imran Khan came to power through the elections, there were rumors, there was concerns about the election actually being rigged to an extent.
Right.
And, you know, and some say we go into the terrain of conspiracy theories here, but there were some irregularities that needed to be taken seriously. Since then, one of the things I think Imran Khan has actually failed to do is to reassert the democratic process. Many of the people in charge of his cabinet now are people who've been there in Musharraf's government, in previous governments as well. So there's not a Naya element to it in the way that people had hoped.
Yes.
As well. And related to that is this pressing issue about what some people are saying is a civilian dictatorship.
Uh-huh.
There is press and media censorship, which is an open secret, and there is a closeness between him and the military, which some sectors are uncomfortable about.
Yes.
So, you know, I would say it's nice rhetoric, but if you actually look at the ground realities, there are a lot of issues that actually reflect what's been going on for some time.
Right. So there's not really a Naya Pakistan in sight at the moment.
One does hope.
Yeah.
He's it's only been a year, so let's give him more time. But I think that the muzzling of the media and the compromising on the democratic aspects, I think that's a worrying trend for Pakistan, because this was the second time there was a democratic transition in Pakistan. There was hope. And you know, a lot of people genuinely came out to partake in this democratic process. And I think that's where Imran needs to do much better.
Mm-hmm. So let's move our attention now towards what's outside of Pakistan. And much of the country's foreign policy during Imran Khan's first in office has been defined by three key relationships. One with China over the CPEC. Second with India over Pulwama first, and more recently, of course, Kashmir. And third, that grace-saving trip to meet Mr. Trump in the US, in Washington. Has Imran Khan done well on this score, and how would you assess his foreign policy contributions overall?
Let's take CPEC first.
Sure.
When he came to power, there was some uncertainty among observers about which route he would go with regards to CPEC, because he had been critical of CPEC previously. And again, there were different views within his cabinet itself about this issue. Since then, he's evaluated some of his previous statements about CPEC, and he sought to reassert his Pakistan's partnership with China with CPEC, but he clearly sees it, and rightfully so, from a Pakistani government's perspective, as a wider geopolitical issue.
Sure.
As well. And so therefore, on that front, he's reasserted their links with China. He's brought China into the economic sector, but also the geopolitical sector as well. And as of yesterday, I believe, was it yesterday or the day before, statements coming up from China indicate more investment in CPAC. So he's clearly thrown his lot in that direction. Mm. With regards to India, and let's divide the two issues again. Post Pulwama, which was this attack that happened on the CRPF forces in Kashmir, and then subsequently you had Indian jets bombing Pakistan and Pakistani jets bombing India. At that moment, that was perhaps one of Imran Khan's finest moments. Yeah. He played the responsible statesman, mm-hmm. and he did it very well. Mm-hmm. I think credit needs to go to him for not inflaming passions at that point of Indeed. Time. He played. He was a responsible politician, responsible statesman at that time. He made all the right noises, all the right statements, all the right sounds, etc. Kashmir presents a problem for him. Mm-hmm. Kashmir is an emotional issue, yep. both in India and Pakistan. And his hands are tied on this issue. He has to, in a way, play the Kashmir card. And he has spoken, or his statements indicate that he will stick to the Pakistani line of internationalizing the issue. That's been the Pakistani position for some time. He's also made statements about not wanting to go the military route or the proxy military route mm-hmm. of using militants, etc. Now, that remains to be seen. So his hands are tied on that front. He has to make these statements. I just hope going ahead that, you know, given the economic situation in Pakistan, the Kashmir saga is not used to gloss over these issues. And I hope, again, the responsible statesman that he reflected when the Pulwama crisis was going on is that Imran Khan continues to play that yes. sort of a role
yes.
On that front. With regards to America, that was a major success. If it was only a PR success, that was a very important success for a domestic audience as well, because he needed something to reflect his international status at home. But he also needed to reflect that America and Pakistan relations, which have been pretty Freudian slip there, yeah. For some time, he needed to reestablish some level of that. So I think he's achieved that to some extent. Now, again, with post-Kashmir, it remains to be seen how that plays on as well. He's also done pretty well on the Afghanistan front as well.
That's true.
So that's another thing to...
And with Saudi as well.
With Saudi, yeah.
Yeah. So perhaps it's not a stretch of exaggeration when one could say that Imran Khan in his first year has certainly fared better in the foreign policy front than perhaps in addressing domestic issues.
Perhaps, yeah.
Yeah. Well, much is left to be seen. As you said, Iqbal, it's still very early days, even though a year has passed. And we will be tuning in to see whether Imran Khan's vision of a Naya Pakistan does bear fruit and does take shape in the coming months and years. Thank you very much for joining us today, Iqbal.
It was a pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Dear listeners, hope you enjoyed this session with Iqbal on Imran Khan's first year in office. You tune in again and join us for our next session of South Asia Chat. Thank you and have a great week ahead.